Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to today's call on the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group. On the call, we have Jim Galvin, the chair. We have Dennis. We have Samart. We have Naoki. We have Jody. We have Steve Shen, myself. And I think there's one person I'm missing. We have Nishit. We're still waiting for Edmund and Takao. So, Jim, over to you.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you for everyone to everyone for joining us here today. I apologize for my mistaken start time here, trying to get us all up an hour earlier. But at least we got that sorted out, and we're here now. Excuse me. Okay. So last time we met, it was before the ICANN meeting, so it's been a couple of weeks. And we had left as an action to look at the documents that we've been thinking about and to comment on where to go from those documents and the elements that are in them. So Naoki sent some questions, some good comments, and I also sent, actually just recently, I sent it, I guess, about 20 minutes or so ago, a comment about I don't know, I'm calling it a simplified proposal. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's too simple, and thus we're missing something. But I was hoping that if folks had access to their email, they might have a chance to take a look at that, as well as taking a look at Naoki's comments. And I replied a bit to Naoki. I started a new thread with a different subject line when I replied to him, and I did that earlier this morning, more than an hour ago, in advance of what I thought was the previous call. So why don't we... those are the two things that I wanted to talk about. Let me first ask if anyone else had anything else they wanted to put on the agenda to make sure that we cover today. Okay, so let me first suggest that we take a look at Naoki's comments since he had put these things out here right away. I had called out his first comment and thought that it really was one of the most important things, where he asks the question about the fact that there is a fair amount of work going on with improving the existing WHOIS, and of course, so some things are really a replacement of the existing WHOIS. And he asks the question, you know, perhaps we should begin our work by being clear about our relationship among these groups. I actually took five things to comment on that exist, other activities that exist, and made one brief comment about each. I was wondering if folks had a chance to look at that and had any comments about what I said, you know, agree or disagree, or, you know, is there anything that I left off or something there that you don't think should be included? And anyone wanna comment, and including asking for more time if you haven't had a chance to look at it yet?
Hi, Jim. This is Jody for the Q.
Yes, Jody. Go ahead, please.
I'm in a similar... I think that I agree with both you and Naoki in the fact that I'm curious as to what we are developing from here. And, you know, there is so much work out there that is being done with the WHOIS. And as you say in your last, or your second to last paragraph, I think it says there, is there really more to say than to reaffirm all of this work? It appears to me that that may be what we're doing, is just saying, yes, we agree with one of these options here. I thought I looked at one of these, and they had given four options as to how the WHOIS should be displayed or recorded, and they really didn't give their recommendation. They just said that they were out there. I mean, is it up to us to give those, to give our recommendation then on which one that we agree with? And I'm sorry that I can't remember which one that is.
Right. So thank you for that, Jody. Actually, I remember which one that is because that's the IRD working group. and it was unable to come to a conclusion. I was chair of that working group at the time, and it was unable to come to a conclusion on what to do about translation and transliteration in particular. And that's where we came up with the four models for, you know, what the data might look like and when it might be translated or transliterated. I believe, Samad, you were part of that group too, weren't you?
Yes.
Yes. So, and in fact, it's because of the fact that we had those four models that the GNSO has started a PDP process on the translation and transliteration. So one of those other, so one of the other groups, which is now just getting started, the charter was just approved, and they're doing a call for volunteers to join that group to answer the question of whether or not a single language or script is required. And then, of course, if it is, you know, where the translation and transliteration would be done and who would bear the burden of that cost. So that was a question that was, you know, called out and set aside from the IRD working group. I can give my perspective on why we set that question aside. And, you know, in my opinion, it was because we really did not have the right set of people in the room to answer the question. The group had been long running. It was, I guess it was about 2 years old by then. And we really didn't have a good cross-section of registries and registrars in the room, in my opinion. And so it really would have been inappropriate to try and cast a recommendation since you really couldn't have the right discussion about it. I don't know if Sarmad, if you want to add anything to that, if you have a different perspective.
So I actually want to make a comment. And I think one of the things which, and I guess I probably phrase that as a question rather than a comment. The question is that you listed, obviously, many groups which are working on different aspects of the vision of who is right now. The question is, which group is deciding which of the elements would need to be in local language? Or is that something which is automatically one can very easily or automatically deduce from the element itself?
So thank you for that. If I just to play that back to make sure that I got it, you're asking the question which elements should be in a local language, which suggests that it may be that whatever elements are collected as part of registration information, there might be different requirements on different elements. Perhaps some, and I don't know, an obvious one that jumps out at me is a phone number. So maybe numbers are always cast in exactly one way, using, they're normally called Arabic numbers, but I guess they're U.S. ASCII. Should we be considering that question? Did I play that back correctly?
Yes, exactly. So I guess my question is, which of the working groups, if it's not us, is going to answer that question?
This is Steve. I'd like to be added to the queue.
Yes, Steve, please go ahead.
So Samar, my understanding of your question is there are sets of, you know, data elements, right? And then, you know, each of those may have different internationalization requirements. And you are asking, you know, which group is to determine those requirements? Is that what you're asking?
I think requirements is probably the next step. So requirements is more on specification details. My question is that if we have a binary question to answer,
right,
that the phone number, it's supposed to be in local digits or in US ASCII digits, or address is going to be in full script or in US ASCII script. Which particular working group actually decides on that?
My understanding is that it will be this working group. Right? So I think for the IRB working group, it did some of those exercises. So it went through a subset of the data elements and say, for these elements, these are the requirements. So I think the starting point is to use the IRB report, have some sort of requirement already, and use that, because I think that's a community working group, represents, you know, somewhat of a community consensus on those elements. And then I think it's up to this working group to decide, you know, the elements are, the IRB working group consider is a subset of what's being displayed today in WHOIS. We may want to take a look at the full manual to be displayed in WHOIS and answer the similar questions for the other data elements. So that to me seems to me this is this working group's task as it's charged to do. The requirement on translation or transliteration is kind of a special case that needs some coordination between this and the PDP, right? So that we don't come to a very different outcomes. But I think it's certainly within this group's purview to consider those. But that particular question needs to be closely coordinated. That would be my thought. Jim, what do you think?
Well, actually, I was going to ask if anyone else had a comment.
To put myself in the queue after you've done, or other people have done as well.
Thank you. That was Samad again, correct?
Yes.
So, actually, I agree with you, Steve, and I like the question, Samad. You know, I hadn't really thought about that, and I think that's an important detailed question. Although, you know, my simplified proposal, you know, was suggesting that a registrant should only be required to use their local language or script. I do think it's an interesting question for us to ask, you know, are there elements for which that requirement would not be true, and does it make sense for that requirement not to be true? I wonder if anyone else who has more experience, you know, with other languages, suppose we were to say something like phone numbers, for example. Let's just pick a concrete example. Rather than saying a registrant could only use their local language and script, would it be reasonable to think that a registrant should always be able to enter, say, a phone number and perhaps other things if we can pick them out? I mean, a phone number could be in US ASCII digits. Is that a reasonable requirement, or should we stay away from that? And so that's my question that I put out there. But Samad, you wanted to speak again, please? Go ahead.
Yes, so I guess the reason I phrased the question is because, as Steve also said, and I guess what you're also saying, is to me, that's sort of what puts us aside from other working groups, because that's really not something anybody else is doing. And that's probably one space we can fill. So this was sort of a comment in response to what Naoki's emailed. So, you know, that's at least one thing which we could look at. And maybe there would be some few others. But I do want to separate that out from the transliteration and translation kind of work, because they do separate things. What we are, I think, focusing on is what are the data requirements as they are entered by the registrant, given to the registrar. The transliteration and translation process is not this part of the process. The transliteration and translation process is, you know, once this data is available, how that data may actually be made available to third parties, whatever those third parties are. That could be an end user, or that could be a law enforcement agency or something like that. So these are two separate processes, and we are sort of involved more in one of the processes, whereas transliteration, translation discussion is more involved in the two of the process. So that's at least how I see it. So that was one thing. Considering your question about, for example, phone numbers, so to me, I think the answer, a simpler answer would be that we need to make sure that the data can be entered through, if it's data which the registrant is being requested, that data should be able to, the registrant should be able to enter that data through the keyboard he or she is using, for example. So that could be one of the constraints. So, but there could be other constraints as well. So again, these are the kind of discussions that we need to have in this group to finalize these things. Thank you.
So thank you. I'll just comment that I agree with your characterization that we're at step one, if you will, with respect to setting requirements for internationalization. But I mean, I like that sort of model, but I observe that, the translation and transliteration PDP, it seems to me that it is within their purview to state that the translation and transliteration is to be done by the registrant. If they decide that everything has to be in a single script or language, which I find it hard to believe they'd pick anything but English, quite honestly, but setting that question aside, they could also declare that the obligation is on the registrant to make that translation or transliteration to whatever it is, which is step one. It's right where we are with this. I just make that observation. I don't know that they would do such a thing. But anyone else want to comment? So let me see, I want to try to keep us focused here. I had started by talking about Naoki's question, the fact that there are a variety of groups, and we should speak to our relationship to all of these groups. I think that was a good issue to call out. So whatever we write, I think we should make an observation about all of the current activities at the time that we're coming to closure and speak to what we think our relationship is. I guess Naoki said that. I guess I'm agreeing with that, and I sort of made a one-sentence proposal on that. Anyone want to comment on whether that's a good or bad idea? I mean, do you agree? Do we just keep that as an action, and we have my draft as a starting point, or do people think we shouldn't do that, and we should just focus on answering our questions? So I should ask my question as a yes or no, so I can get silent as a clear answer instead of asking an or, right? Otherwise, everybody has to speak. Well, for the moment, let's just hold out there the fact that we have these other groups and try to track them ourselves. Let's leave open the question of whether that ends up in our final document or not. But I do think as part of our work, we need to make sure that we're always clear on our relationship with all of the other work. So, as these activities change, or if we have concerns about the work that's going on there, we should call it out here as part of our discussion just to make sure that we're tracking all of those activities. Let me suggest that we do that. Naoki had some other questions in his message, some other comments that he put there. People have a preference as to how we do this. I think I put my simplified proposal out there, which we started to talk a little bit about, but I did feel like since Naoki had gone through and you know, done his review, that we should take some time to consider his comments first. Would anyone like to jump in and make a comment about anything that Naoki said, his four additional comments after the main one about tracking other groups? So I'll make one comment. Naoki, there are two places here, really, where you talk about aggregated versus the federated RDS. I'm not sure that we should speak to the question of whether a federated or aggregated RDS is better. I think that ideally, we should see the choice between federated or aggregated as an implementation detail, and we should focus on making requirements about the data and not about how it's stored or maintained, if you will. I have no idea where that particular recommendation is going to go with EWG and the rest of the community, and I'm thinking that to the greatest extent possible, we should not insert ourselves in that discussion if we can avoid it. Do you have any reaction to that, Naoki? Anyone else want to comment on whether we should comment on aggregated versus the federated RDS? Okay, so I'm sorry, someone want to speak?
Say this is Jody for the queue, I guess.
Please, go ahead, Jody.
Is our working group to decide whether we should propose or recommend that we use the aggregated or the federated RDS? Is that what the question is? I'm not sure I'm following quite along in step.
I think that's how I interpreted Naoki's comment, that, you know, we could comment on federated versus aggregated if we thought that was important to internationalization. I mean, in a broad sense, since we're supposed to speak to internationalizing registration data, part of me believes that we can comment on anything we think is relevant. And yes, as I understood Naoki's question, he was suggesting that we should consider commenting on federated versus aggregated. So I'm saying no, we shouldn't do that. Does that answer your question, Jody? Do you want to?
Yeah, I guess I'd like to add a couple of comments on that. I mean, I think it depends on what we come up with as what should be internationalized and how it should be internationalized. If we're trying to determine how to do the internationalization, as in one of the working groups where it said, who does the transliteration, the transcription, or the translation, you know, where would that be done? If we're commenting on how it's done or who should bear the cost of that, then I think, you know, commenting on the federated or the aggregated RDS systems would make sense based on what our recommendations would be on who should do the translation or the transliteration. I mean, as I was reading these documents, you know, if from an operational viewpoint and a development viewpoint for a registrar, you know, it seems to me, you know, after thinking about it for a little bit, not enough to dive deep into it, you know, it would make sense if we decided that the transliteration or transcription or anything like that was to be done in a WHOIS provider, you know, then it would make sense that we would consider either the federated or the aggregated RDS system. I think I'm jumping ahead a little bit here about what we're tasked to comment on. Like I said, if we're tasked to decide what's just stored as localized and internationalized. Do we allow the registrant to just store only localized content? And if they do that, that means many law enforcement agencies will have to bear the brunt of trying to translate or transcribe that information, unless there is an aggregated RDS system that would do that for them.
Okay. I really do see what Jody is saying and what I guess Holly now he's saying as well. And in this context, I think we probably should not go as far as saying whether one should be preferred over the other. But once we've done our analysis, we could probably put down recommendations on whether what are the implications on internationalizing this data, given the federated model versus aggregated model, and do a comparison without really going into translating that comparison into a recommendation per se of one over the other. So that is something which could be done.
Thank you. Anyone else? Naoki, did you want to say any more about your question or clarify your comment, or are you comfortable with the discussion so far?
Naoki, this is Steve. Are you on the line? Are you still on the line?
Yes. Yes. That makes sense for me so far. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So let me just play back what I think I heard. I think I agree with both Jody and Sarmad here. So, Jody, I believe I heard you saying that whether or not we speak to this question should really depend on what we want to say about internationalizing registration data. And we should first answer that question, and that will drive us to whether or not we need to speak to aggregated versus federated. And then I believe that I heard Sarmad suggest that, you know, rather than actually picking one versus the other, we could at least, if we found based on our requirements that there was a difference, that there would be implementation issues that mattered, we wouldn't necessarily have to pick aggregated versus federated, but we should certainly speak to the issues and lay them out as a consideration by the community as part of our recommendation. So did I characterize that correctly? I guess first Jody and then Sarmad?
Yes, I think you have my comments. Understood.
Yes.
Okay. So good. I wasn't going to jump in particular on anything else that Naoki said. I think that he had some good comments there. Does anyone else want to jump in on anything or want to move to talking about my simplified proposal for a bit?
Tim, okay. Steve, I'd like to be added to the queue.
Steve, please go ahead.
I was going to comment on Naoki's last comment about data elements that are not supported in EPP or RDAP, whether that should be included in our requirements. But I think perhaps we could set that question aside as a meta question. I've been thinking about the, you know, how do we approach this requirements. And I would like to propose, you know, if we could start with a set of principles. So I think, for example, Samar articulated some principle. For example, you know, whether to decide a data element to be internationalized, we should take into consideration the user capability of his or her keyboard when he or she is entering those information. So I think those are kind of the principles. And then start with principles, we look at the data elements kind of one by one, or maybe by data element types. For example, you know, phone number will be one. That could include both telephone and fax number, you know, email address, name server information, those kind of infrastructure information, and look at one by one, you know, whether to internationalize. And then in the end, look at the last piece is look at these various other moving pieces and how our relationship with them. So I'm just thinking aloud to capture the thought here. Thanks, Jim.
So thank you for that, Steve. In my simplified proposal, I was suggesting that, you know, is there really any more to say than a registrant should be allowed to use their local language or script? All data elements should be tagged to the language and script, and, you know, that's the way they should be stored, and that's the way it should be taken in. I agree with you that, you know, Sarmad raised an important distinction. You know, are there elements that don't need to be in a local language? And, you know, should we see if we can consider that? And I like your proposal, Steve, that perhaps we can adopt some principles. We can find a way to describe the distinction so that the choice can be made. So what I'm saying is there might be some elements that, yes, a registrant always directly enters and they should be allowed to use their language, their local language or script. There might be other elements like, in Naoki's last comment there about the registry, registrar, jurisdiction, you know, those kinds of elements, a registrant never sees those and doesn't have anything to do with them. So, you know, they can be in some other kind of standard format that a registrar simply has to provide and that they put in. And maybe we can draw that distinction. The one concern I have about looking at elements, and I guess this is kind of embedded in my comment here about simply reaffirming the work of others, is I'm wondering if we or if any of these other groups, you know, perhaps, is the right place to decide on the full set of data elements. One of the things that I was observing is that, you know, there are right now three sources of sets of data elements, right? The Weirds Working Group has got some source of data elements. There was a source of data elements from the IRD Working Group from 2 years ago. They had some things they talked about. The EWG, of course, is talking about a set of data elements that would be included in registration data. And I'm thinking that we're just going to make things worse if we try to talk about data elements in the specific also. I like your comment, Steve, that we should try to stick to principles. And I'm sure now that the situation is not as simple as just use a local language or script for everything. Sarmad asked a good question, and I think that we need to consider that question, but can we break this down into principles is the comment that I offered to the group here. Anything related to contact information should be in a local language or script. Everything else probably has a defined language or script that can be used and is sufficient. So the registrar ID and things like that fall into that category. That does leave the question of where the phone number fits. So I'm sorry, let me just come back and repeat my question. I don't think it's as simple as using a single language or script. I think we need to find a way to characterize a categories of data elements without actually specifying all of the data elements themselves. Anyone want to comment on that, agree or disagree?
Hi, this is Nishit. I want to come.
So actually, too many overlapping people. Let's try again with a little random back off here. Who wants to speak?
Hi, this is Nishit. I want to comment.
So I heard Nishit. Anyone else? So Nishit, I think I heard Sarmad, correct? Anyone else?
This is Jody. I was just going to ask for a repeat of the question.
Okay, Jody, I'll do that. Anyone else who wanted to speak? Okay, I have Nishit and Sarmad in the queue. The question was, I was suggesting in my simplified proposal that all elements simply be in a local language or script, and that's the way they're carried. I think that based on Naoki's comment, and I realize that, and also Sarmad's comment, I realize that there are elements that are not under the control of the registrant. So that's one point. And therefore, those things being in a single language or script is probably not appropriate. So we can create at least two categories of elements that are part of registration information, those things that are under control of the registrant and things that are not. So based on that, anything a registrant does could be local language or script. Anything else would have to be have its language or script defined as part of the definition of the element, whatever that might be. So I wanted to make that split. The other comment I wanted to make was that we should make splits between elements as descriptions, not as a list of specific elements. I'm concerned that I don't think we want to define all the set of specific elements. We need to find a way to characterize the elements and talk about them, partly because elements will change over time, partly because there's at least three other groups that have defined sets of elements. And I don't think we need to be the fourth. So I guess, Jody, I'm really asking two questions. Do you agree that we should not be specifying a list of elements explicitly, although we might give examples? And then two, can we define the requirements based on categories of elements? Does that help, Jody?
That does.
Okay. Do you want to be in the queue?
Yes.
Okay. So let's start with Nishi.
Hi, my comment is on your second point. Even I do believe that we should better design define various classes and different data elements should come under that particular classes. So we can go for internationalizing policies for that particular class. For example, we will consider a class date so that all of the data elements like last updated date, expiration date, or creation date should come under that particular class. And those data elements and that comes under that particular category should be internationalized in the same way.
Okay, thank you. So you were agreeing with the idea that we should have classes of elements and have requirements based on those classes. Is that correct?
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you. Sarmad?
Okay. We've been talking about objectives, and I totally agree that we should have some generic objectives as far as requirement for internationalization is concerned for a particular element. I certainly agree with this recent comment on categorizing elements. So I agree with you and that we should not comment on each and every element because it's not a closed list. This will grow over time. So the only way to address that is to actually define classes. But even though we do not address all elements, we must try to ensure that we identify all possible set, the complete set of classes which can actually happen within this within Whois data, and try to then propose some internationalization requirements for those classes. So that's a great way of doing it, I think. What I also wanted to point out, add to this, was that it seems to me that we then also probably need to get into and define a third set of things, which is the process, I'm not talking about transliterating or translating, but suppose that there is additional elements which are introduced in WHOIS over time. There should be a process which assigns those elements to a particular category or class, and then based on that assignment imposes or certain internationalization requirements on that new element. Thank you.
So, thank you. Just to play that back, I think I heard three things. You were agreeing that we should not try to list all elements. You are agreeing that classes of data elements is a good idea, although observing that we would have to put some effort into defining all possible classes. And then the third thing you said was that we need a process. Given that the list of elements will change over time, we need a way to figure out which class a given element gets added to, or if that causes the creation of a new class for some reason. Did I get that correct?
Yes, and through that process, it will impose certain internationalization requirements on that data element.
Yes, and so based on the class that it goes into, that would then decide the internationalization requirements. Okay, thank you. Jody?
Actually, you can remove me from the queue.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so pulling this together here. I actually think we've made a significant step forward here at the moment, because up to this point we've been talking about trying to collect data elements and list data elements and understand them, and we've now stepped back from that, and I believe we have agreement, so I'm going to test that in just a moment, that having classes of data is a better path. We'll probably obviously give examples of the various data elements that would go in a class, just to ensure that our descriptions are concrete and usable by everyone. But the idea here is that the list of elements are likely to change with time. In addition, I should point out that certain registries have special requirements. There are some restrictive registries coming in the future, and they'll have special requirements, and so they're likely to have special data elements that apply only to them, and we'll need to accommodate those in some way, too. So let me just test this consensus. I think we have consensus at the moment here that talking about classes of data elements rather than specific data elements is the way that we should characterize our final work product. Is there anyone that disagrees with that or wants to clarify that in any way? Okay, so that's a good thing. I do still think we're going to need to look at specific data elements, obviously, because now we have to come up with a set of classes that we want to use. I'll observe that the recent EWG status report actually does do this in a way. They do actually divide up data elements into collections. I don't know that it's quite the right breakdown that we're looking for our classes, but at least it's a useful way to do our first review of data elements and consider how we might reorganize things. I mean, I'm already thinking that there's at least three classes of data elements that jump out at me. There's your basic contact information for a registrant. There are dates are kind of interesting. I don't believe that a registrant has control over dates. A registrar would put those in and a registry would. I think that we could have a single standard for anything which is a date element. And then I also think that there are, I'll call them ID-like elements. I'm not sure what to call them. But you've got like a registrar ID, this notion of registrar jurisdiction, which was being included in the EWG report. And I think there's a couple other things like that. Again, those are objects like dates. Registrants don't see them or have them, but they're added by the system. You know, seems to me that the system could also define what the values are allowed to be and have a registry, if you will, of all of those values. And so that can be a single stated standard for representation. There may be other classes, but those are at least the three that come to my mind at the moment based on our discussion here. Does that spark any comment or conversation from anyone?
Hi, Jim. This is Steve. I'd like to be added to the queue.
Please, Steve, go ahead.
So besides dates, contact information, and IDs, it is a category of phone numbers, status, various status. These are really registry. These are not in control by the registrant, but they are as part of the WHOIS output anyway by registry and registrar. So those are the two things, two more things. One thing for each of these categories, I'm just thinking in terms of when we write up the report, for each category, we kind of articulate what the category is, and then perhaps we could look at, you know, what are some of the ways to internationalize that category? What are some of the international standards for that category? And then, based on those, the working group decides we use, you know, this particular standard. So kind of the flow of the final report. Thanks.
Yes, Sama, I'd like to take it in the queue.
Please, Sama, go ahead.
Okay, so as far as the classes are concerned, you know, I see at least two ways of doing this. So, you know, so far we've been talking about content of the data element, and that's certainly one of looking at classifying things. But another way of, or another dimension of classifying things is not on its content only, but on its use. So there are certain content elements which are used by end users. There are certain data elements which are only used by registrants. There are other data elements which are only used by maybe registrars or registries. So that's another aspect of content which may determine whether something should be in a particular language or another, or a particular format or another. So classes should also be based on certain criteria, and content is only one of the criteria. I think use, for example, is another criteria. But there could be other criteria which basically could determine how we eventually make classes.
So thank you for that, Samad. I agree with you. You're right. We've been classifying by content so far, but we might actually think about other classification methods, and use is certainly a good one. Classifying by use certainly helps to explain the IDs and objects thing that I was talking about before, like, you know, the registrar ID and even a whole set of dates, and Steve just mentioned status. Those are obviously really all for internal use, internal to the system. So that's an open question. Yes, we should keep that question in mind. Another question that I want to put out here for folks to think about. Steve was suggesting that phone numbers might be a separate object that should be pulled out and have its own internationalization requirements. I want to leave that as an open question. One of the things that's interesting to me in this that I really don't know the answer to, and maybe other folks, I'm merely interested in, you know, what other folks' opinion is, especially those for whom, you know, your first language is something other than English or U.S. ASCII-based. Contact information, you know, I'm starting from the premise that contact information should be in the local language or script of the registrant. But that actually affects two things that are interesting in this context. One is the phone number, and another is an email address if it's being used. Is there, you know, are email addresses going to be allowed to be in the local language or script? I mean, we do have standards now for how to have a local part as well as a domain name using internationalized languages and characters. I really don't know the answer to the question of a phone number. I mean, is it possible for a phone number to be in a form other than those U.S. ASCII 0 to 9 characters? So is it fair to require a registrant to have to enter a phone number in those characters? Or is there something else that should be allowed there? So that's an open question in my mind. Again, I like the starting premise of a registrant always using their local language or script. So I'm being cautious about phone number, email address, and perhaps there's other contact info elements for which this applies too.
I'd like to bring the queue. This is Takao.
Takao, please go ahead.
Actually, two things. One is just so you know, Edmund is typing in the conference the page. So just the share. So just so you know that if you can pay attention, that'll be great. So you know, and regarding the phone number, the one thing that came up in mind is actually maybe like English specific. You know, you can say 1-800. You know. Call me please or something, you know, like these are English words that is English specific. I just want to confirm that we are not, you know, supporting that at all. Or maybe I'm wrong.
Jody for the queue.
Yes, Jody, go ahead.
To Cal's point, I mean, as a registrar, we're kind of knee-deep in the RAA right now, and one of the formats that's required by the RAA is that it needs to be in the, I think it's called the ITU 164 format, which basically says that it needs to be all numbers, that the phone number needs to be displayed as all numbers. So, for instance, you know, a 1-800 number would have to be something like this. It would have to be a plus sign, a country code, and then the actual number that's assigned to the domain or to the phone number with a country code in front of it. So you would not be able to use anything that says 1-800 call me. Or anything like that for a phone number. It needs to be all digits according to the RAA agreement that needs to be signed for 2013 to sell new GTLDs and the new one the new RAA that will have to be signed when the current one expires.
So thank you for that, Jody. Anyone else?
But to your question, Jim, I'm sorry, just to continue with that, must a phone number be displayed, or is there any other way to dial a phone number besides in Arabic characters, in Arabic numeric characters? I have the same question that you do, Jim, and English is my only language, so I'm not sure if Takao, if you can answer that, or if anybody else can answer that.
Yeah, no, Jody, so I
I know that that's the same thing, but the only thing I just wanted to confirm is that in the U.S. or maybe in English languages, the phone has A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, you know, and then, you know, two has A, B, C value too, so, and then you can combine, you know, those, you know, those words, and then I just wanted to make sure that is not something we are talking about. So it has to be number, and then if that's a one confirmation I'd like to make here. So it has to be number as opposed to, you know, A instead of 2.
Yes, as far as I know, from the RAA agreement, it requires it to be all numbers. No characters can be used for a phone number.
Okay, so otherwise, yes, great. And then otherwise, you know, I'm not aware that there are any countries that are, you know, list up phone numbers any other characters, you know. I mean, like a Japanese, and yes, of course, and the local, you know, characters for each number, but I don't think we need to support that at all, for instance, right? I had thought that the discussion was that, like you said, Jody, you know, whether, you know, we have this standard number plus 81, you know, 3, 4, 7, 4, 5, 7, 8, 3, 9, 0, 3 kind of number, or, you know, local number, meaning 03, you know, start without the country code and so forth. And then that was the discussion, whether when somebody register, we ask, you know, 81 or plus 81, or just, you know, that part can be skipped, knowing that he or she is from, you know, registering from Japan and stuff like that.
Okay. I hear Samad wants to speak too, but let me just jump in here for a moment. First, I want to apologize to Edmund. I was not actually in the Adobe Connect room, so I was not noticing your comments, but I have now gotten them out and see what you were saying there, and I'm collecting all those comments and going back. I've been hearing between Takao and Jody here that, and I guess Jody in particular, that the RAA actually already answers this question about internationalizing phone numbers for us, because it requires phone numbers to be available according to the ITU standard, which uses U.S. ASCII digits. So the plus sign, country code, followed by a city code and the rest of the phone number, et cetera, as would be defined by the ITU standard. So I think that answers the internationalization requirement with respect to that. We're at the top of the hour here. I'm going to give a moment to Samad to make his comment, and then I want to put our action out for the next meeting. So Samad, please, go ahead. Samad, if you're speaking, we're not hearing you. Okay, I'm not sure what happened to Samad. All right, we're at the top of the hour here. I think we're at a reasonable breaking point. We've come to some agreement here about using classes, which I think is a good thing. We've started to explore what some of those classes are. I'd like us to pick up with this conversation next time. And as a specific suggestion, let me suggest that we focus on the data elements that the EWG has been collecting and putting forth. And we should look at those and consider, let's further begin to consider what are the classes of data elements that we should be defining and describing. I think we actually have an answer to how to deal with phone numbers, but I think with respect to contact information, I really would like to talk some more about whether there's other things to break out of contact information and say something special about them. And email addresses jumped out at me. There may be other things. And then let's see if we can start to create a list of categories. Steve, I'm hoping that you captured at least our initial set for now, so we'll have those distributed in our notes, and we can pick up and continue our discussion here for next week. Any objections from anyone or clarifications? Okay, then Steve, let me turn it over to you to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Jim. Following this meeting, the transcript will be posted shortly, and I think I need to do a better job sending out the meeting notes, particularly the action items, quickly, so that we have a week in between to work on things. The action item, the agreement that I interpret, from this conversation is the working group agree that looking at categories of data elements is a better approach than looking at specific elements. And the action item for the working group is to look at the EWG report and those categories of elements and classes of elements. And perhaps I would suggest that we go on the mailing list between now and the next meeting to propose some of those categories. We had some discussions about whether to classify the data elements by content or by use. I think that's still an open discussion. And the third point is a process that needs to be considered on how to consider new elements and when they are internationalized. So, Jim, those are the things I captured. Did I miss anything?
Nothing jumps out at me, but you should probably go through and check Edmund's comments. I like what he said about statuses, for example, in particular.
Yes, okay. Yeah, sorry. I'm having some internet problems, so I don't have access to the internet other than from my phone. So I will check Edmund's comments and incorporate them.
Okay. That's it then.
With that, thank you, everyone, for this productive call. Our next call is the same time next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. That will be 6 a.m. Pacific Time. And I think 11 p.m. For Japan. So with that, thank you, everyone, and the call is adjourned.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.